a scripture that's a little bit difficult to understand, just what God wants us to understand from this. So what I'm going to start out before I get to the message, I want to read Zondervan's life application, the interpretation of this scripture, and it'll shed a little bit more light on what is there. Isaiah's vision was his commission to be God's messenger to his people. Isaiah was given a difficult mission. He had to tell people who believed they were blessed by God that instead God was going to destroy them because of their disobedience. This was at a time when Uzziah was the king. Uzziah was one of the most successful kings of the tribes, and his reign was one of the longest. His reign was for a little over 50 years. But even then, through all this time of prosperity, he's seen that God's people were leaving him. They were disobeying the word of God. And this is where God had called out Isaiah and was commissioning him to be a prophet to these people that were turning away from him and bring him back into his fold. So Isaiah's lofty view of God gives us a sense of God's greatness, mystery, and power. Isaiah's example of recognizing his sinfulness before God encourages us to confess our sin. His picture of forgiveness reminds us that we too are forgiven. We are recognized how great our God is, how sinful we are, and the extent of God's forgiveness. We receive power to do his work. How does your concept of the greatness of God measure up to Isaiah's? The throne, the attending seraphs or angels, and the threshold and the threefold holy all stress God's holiness. Seraphs were a type of angel whose name is derived from the word for burn, perhaps indicating their purity as God's ministries. In a time when moral and spiritual decay had peaked, it was important for Isaiah to see God in his holiness. Holiness means morally perfect, pure, and set apart from all sin. We also need to discover God's holiness. Our daily frustrations, society's pressures, and our shortcomings reduce and narrow our view of God. We need the Bible's view of God as high and lifted up to empower us, to deal with our problems and concern. God's moral perfection, properly seen, will purify us from sin, cleanse our mind from our problems, and enable us to worship and to serve. Seeing the Lord and listening to the praise of the angels, Isaiah realized that he was unclean before God with no hope of measuring up to God's standard of holiness. When Isaiah's lips were touched with a live burning coal, however, he was told that his sins were forgiven. It wasn't the coal that cleansed him, but God. In response, Isaiah submitted himself entirely to God's service, no matter how difficult his task would be. He said, "Here am I. Send me." Hopefully that sheds a little bit more light on this particular verse. So how do we take that and make a Lent message out of it? And how do we come up with the title Heart Attack? Well, while I was convalescing, if I can use that word, I spent some time reading and studying and preparing. And I came across this story where a man was sitting there and the phone rang and he answered this phone. And on the other end was a voice. And it was a voice that he had not heard for over 15 years. It was a friend of his from a very, very long time ago calling to apologize for an argument that they had had 15 years ago. They had never resolved their differences. But this friend was finally calling to apologize. So after they had talked for a while and shared forgiveness with one another, he still had to ask one question of his friend. And that question was, why now? Why, after 15 years, are you calling me to apologize? Well, the phone went dead for several seconds. And finally, the voice on the other end of the phone said, well, you know what, friend? I just had a heart attack. And my whole world looks different today than it did before. Isn't it amazing how when people are taken out of their comfort zone and forced to think outside of the box of their everyday grievance and opinions, that it makes the whole world look different to them? How many of us have been in that position? Yeah. You see, the prophet Isaiah seemed to have a heart attack. Isaiah is sitting there and he's, woe is me. Oh, poor me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't live up to God's promise. I can't do what you're asking me to do, God. Then all of a sudden this vision comes to him. And he sees God. And he hears the message that the angels are giving him. And they touched his lips with hot coals that did not burn. The whole world looked different to Isaiah. I submit this morning, that's a pretty darn good heart attack. That's an event that got Isaiah's attention. Just like a heart attack, it's our attention. Just like somebody telling you, you got 7 blockages, and we're going to need to do something. And you sit in your soft chair, a little worried about getting up and doing something. You get this little pain, and you wonder, is this the big one? No different than Isaiah. You see, we know heart attacks. Every one of us, I bet, knows somebody that has had a heart attack. There are some here that have had heart attacks, perhaps. It gets your attention. Coronary heart failure is the most common fatality in the United States, and it is the 3rd leading cause of serious disabilities. I had a cousin that had a heart attack, a big time heart attack. They used the paddles on him 9 times before they could take him out of the house. He survived. He has some disabilities and he has new limits. But I want to tell you, he is a better Christian today than he was before. Not that he was bad before. But it got his attention. It is the same for myself. As I was preparing and going through this surgery, I had churches in Alaska, Montana, Arizona, Florida, Tennessee, in addition to my own church, that I was lifted up in prayer. I have a sideboard in the house that's not big enough for all the cards. These things get your attention. I didn't have a heart attack. But it moved me closer to Christ. We know the causes. We know the diets that we should have. We know what actions are bad for us. We know what inactions are bad for us. I'm going to pick on Bob for a second here. Sitting here punching on the computer is not a good thing when it comes to your heart. You're not even going to smile at me, Bob? He gets picked on a lot for that. So I just, you never spoil a good notion, right? Seriously, though. We know the things. But we continue down this path. We might even be eating the same things or engaging in the same activities that we know will lead us down that road, assuming that nothing will happen to us as our arteries begin to become coated and with plaque and cholesterol. Oh, it won't happen to me. Oh, that poor guy. He should have never had that diet. He should have did this and he should have did that. And we're thinking and saying these things to other people. We're doing exactly the things we say this person should never have done. Because it won't happen to us. So my question is are we taking care of ourselves? Do we have things building up? Have our blood vessels hardened? Do we have blockages? Is there a bypass surgery in your history? Is there a heart attack in your history or in your future? So let me ask you this. Has something been clogging up your spiritual arteries? Have you been indulging in too much of a good thing? So much of something that it has driven you farther away from having a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is there a blockage on your path between where you are right now and the cross? Is it a small blockage? Is it a big blockage? Is it several blockages? Are your arteries being hardened spiritually through your lack of attention, through your bad actions, your poor decisions when it comes to your spiritual life? Has something in your life been keeping you your time for prayer? Rather than get up in the morning and spend just a few moments in devotion with your Christ? Oh man, I gotta hurry out of here. I'm too late for work. Oh, I gotta meet this friend for breakfast. Oh, I have to get the housework done. Oh, I gotta do this and oh, I gotta do that. These are all little blockages in our spiritual arteries. Have they been hardening? Have you gotten so used to the way things go around here that you have stopped to think that maybe something could happen? Are your blood vessels too rigid now to consider any kind of change? You see, when I look at my own Christian life, I have to look at it like a man standing beside a friend's hospital bed. I have been too hard, or too rigid, or too clogged. I'm just a man. A lump lying on that bed, fed and bled by tubes that are more flexible and cleaner than mine. You see, this is what the season of Lent is for. This is what this time of preparation is for. It is to finally show us the effects of everything we have been putting into and neglecting our own lives. And it is to show our relationship to God's holiness. It is to make something hit you. And I want it. I want it to hit you so hard that it feels just like a heart attack. Where your chest gets tight. Where it's heavy weight. Where you're grasping for air. And if you're lucky, you can stop and think, is this the big one? Is this the one? That's what Lent is. That's what this preparation is for. To hit us like a heart attack. To get our attention. This experience of Lent that we go through every year is like coming to the vision with Isaiah. It is coming to the Bible, to the altar, and to our holy God, looking up and seeing all of His majesty and glory. It is to see God's holy wholeness and His otherness and His aliveness, and to be struck almost dead by it. We see God's wholeness and we begin to feel a tightness in our chest. Heart attacks get our attention. That's the way it is with God's presence. We are supposed to feel this tightness. His presence is supposed to get our attention. We wrestle and we gasp about this invisible force that weighs on us. We struggle against a God who is complete and bigger than the universe, known or unknown. We struggle with a God who is now sitting on our chest. We struggle for every breath. We find a God who is so utterly separate from our experience, so far removed from the sins that mire us down, that whenever we try to wrap our heads around Him, we begin to get nauseous and dizzy, breaking into a cold sweat. God has our attention. We find a God who is pining down our arms or our legs and showing us who He really is and how much He really is alive. We wrestle with this alive and holy God throughout the night, just like Jacob did. And we have our heart attack. Our doubt, our mistrust, our unconfessed sins, our lack of love, and personal blockages of finally making our hearts give out. Our heart stops, and we begin to die. Christ, then in that moment, steps in. He takes on His own holiness. And His own completeness, and His own otherness, a weight too great for any of us to bear, and puts it all on His own chest. We can now breathe. The pressure is no longer there. Our spiritual arteries are no longer clogged. His heart is the one that stops beating instead of ours. And when we experience that feeling of Christ stepping in for us, we know we don't deserve it. We know that we are not holy. We know that we are not even close. We look at Jesus dying on that cross. His heart stopped. dying from that heart attack, from the blockages and the hardening that can only be blamed on ourselves. And then we see him dead. And we see him being taken down from the cross. And we want to ask that temporarily inanimate body, confused and hurt, this question. Listen to this close. What did you see that caused you to do this? What did Christ see in us that caused him to die on the cross, to experience one of the most horrific deaths known to mankind then and now? So sometime this week, I would just like to challenge you that you have the bravery to look at a cross. Perhaps a cross at home. Maybe the cross here in our sanctuary. Crosses are visible all through our environment. Take a moment and look at it and dwell on it and notice it. And ask this question, what do you see in me that I don't see in myself? What is it that you see in me that you died for me? And when you ask that question, and while you're waiting for that answer, let that experience be your heart attack. Arthur Miller, in a play entitled After the Fall, describes how he might look at ourselves, how we might look at ourselves in this heart attack. In this moment of Lent. And Arthur Miller described this. He was coming home from war. And this is what he said in the play. One day the house smells of fresh bread. The next day it smells of smoke and blood. One day you faint because the gardener cuts his finger off. And within a week you're climbing over corpses of children found in a subway. I tried to die near the end of the war. The same dream returns each night until I dared not go to sleep and grew quite ill. I dreamed I had a child, and even in the dream, I saw it was my own life. And that this child was an idiot. And I ran away. But it always crept back onto my lap and clutched at my clothes. Until I thought if I could kiss it, perhaps I could go to sleep. This is just a play that Arthur Miller wrote. But these words can apply to us so much today. So as we bend and we try to kiss our own lives, this frightful and disgusting thing that we want to run away from, that we try to right ourselves through acts of loving ourselves and proving to ourselves that we are okay. We clog and we harden. And it takes Jesus to take that child away from us, to take that horrible child and hold it on his lap and kiss it. You see, that kiss is the cross. And the answer to why is this. We are his children. No matter how disgusting, no matter how idiotic, we are the children of the holiness that is beyond everything in us. And that holiness of Jesus Christ stops and stoops and kisses us. I hope this Lent hits you like a heart attack. I hope that it inspires you to ask for forgiveness. I hope it inspires you to call someone up this week and begin that healing process. I hope this inspires you to call on our Lord and begin that healing process all over again. I ask you this. Feel him bend down and feel the kiss on your cheek. Just like the angel that brought the red hot coal to the mouth of Isaiah, that did not burn, that indicated Isaiah was forgiven, that was the seal on Isaiah's commissioning to go forward and be one of the major prophets of bringing God's people back within his arms. Let that holy experience of forgiveness that kisses you and makes you look at the whole world differently. Just as the man and who we started out in the story with. It made his world different. That kiss of Christ that we can only receive at the foot of the cross will make your world different. And with that difference, you can go forward just as Isaiah did with his commissioning. I challenge you to take time this week and find a cross and just look at it. And all of God's people said,
Amen.